close your eyes and use your imagination. It's complete, the Master Potter. Finished and ready. You see a pot, beautiful, raw, and formed into a complete shape. But then the Master picks up the pot, the tool, and places it into a fiery furnace. Open your eyes. Was the pot complete or incomplete? Let's talk about it. Welcome to Anything Goes, A Journey Home, a place to find hope, encouragement, inspiration, and motivation to do the same on your journeys wherever they may take you. I'm your host, Andrew Guy. Isaiah 45, 9-10 says, "Woe to those who quarrel with their maker, those who are nothing but potsherds among the potsherds on the ground. But the clay say to the potter, does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say, the potter has no hands? Woe to the one who says to a father, what have you begotten? Or to a mother, what have you brought to birth?" Romans 9, 19-20, "You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to the molder, why have you made me like this?" As Christians, we can become quite arrogant if we think we are done or complete. The process of sanctification is being in a state of constant completion. We are constantly in a state of being made whole, being completed, being finished for a purpose or to be filled and used. So let's talk about pottery. Or let's talk about some concepts regarding pottery and our lives and the sanctification process. That's what I'd like to talk to you today about. As pots, or in the case of pottery, we can be in a couple of different states. We can be in a state of being molded versus being at rest. We can be in a state of being handled with care or being placed into the fire. We can be in a state of being used or being filled or falling apart or being remade or being repurposed. So let's talk about a couple of those. Maybe we're in a state in our lives where we are being actively molded. Could be we're early on in our faith. Could be we're later in life in our faith. A lot of times we hear the words, things like being broken down, reconstructed, or taken apart of our down to our foundational core pieces. This isn't to be confused with the reconstructional movement of reconstructing one's faith or the exvangelical movement that you see on social media. No, this is us realizing that being molded or being at rest is a working process, a kneading process, a shaping process that God is realizing and working out the impurities within us. Working out our rough edges, so to speak. Releasing what has been trapped in us. It hurts. Sometimes. It may even burn, crack, drown us, overwhelm us, wreck us. But it never destroys us. No, that's not God. He loves his creation, especially those made in his image. I think if we start recognizing the riches of God are deep, that they're eternal, and that the work that he is doing of revealing himself, the great master worker, the creator himself, and that he is giving us to each a degree of his glory to the next stage of our life, and the next stage, and the next stage, we may realize that we have a lot left to learn. Which also means that because of the depth and the eternal nature of God, we may never know in this life the depths of the mystery and nature of him and his will for our lives. But we will only ever be in this constant state of learning, discovery, and coming to terms with the truth his word teaches us and reveals to us. Which leads to the concept of being a thing that's being at rest. As a pot, oftentimes potter will let the clay rest so that it can sit in its shape and kind of take on the properties that it's been shaped into. Being at rest sometimes is a reality in which we can deep dive and deep dive and deep dive on God. But our physical bodies are finite. We can only take in so much. And we need to learn to rest with the truths that we are discovering and that we are coming to terms with. Because I've seen so many times countless people who learn about how churches work and function, and they think that that must mean they're just like any other cult out there, or they're just like any other church out there. They're just trying to manipulate me. They're trying to convince me. They're trying to sell me. The reality is that for those of us who work in church, we know that every day of our lives is about being a servant first, doing everything in our power that whoever comes through our doors would feel welcome, loved, and that the Holy Spirit and the presence of God would be felt by them when they come into our space. That's not us trying to manipulate. That's not us trying to convince. That's just us wanting you to feel like you're a part of the family. And too many times I've seen so many Christians, whether they're people who've deconstructed their faith or people who are exvangelical, who turn on the church because they've been hurt or they discovered something that they didn't know happened in churches, but actually happens quite often. Whatever the realization may be, it doesn't change the fact that God is still the same God. I think we tend to walk into churches thinking that they're this perfect thing, or they're supposed to be this perfect thing, when in reality, they're not. They're full of people who are broken and hurt, from the very top of the leadership down to the very bottom volunteer on the list. It's nothing but broken people, and we almost always make mistakes, 100% of the time. I work as a worship pastor, and as a worship pastor, I do everything in my power to make Sunday the best that it can possibly be, to give it the best, most excellent experience that one can have in a service. And some might be in the place and mindset that I'm somehow manipulating people. And the truth is, that's not the case. That's not my heart. My heart is I want people to have an encounter with God. But the reality is I know I ultimately can't control that. It's ultimately up to God and the Holy Spirit to do. All I get to do is be a part of it, and I'm grateful to be a part of it. And if God does choose to use my efforts in such a way as to bring about an encounter for someone else, man, praise God. And the truth is, and this is a truth that I've come to wrestle with and I've had to sit with for a while, is I may never find out in this life what kind of effort or results of my efforts have occurred. That's hard. In a result-driven society where we want to see results, we want to see evidence of work done and accomplished and goal achieving, the reality is that I won't know my eternal impact until I get to heaven. And that's a hard one to wrestle with. The truth is, for me right now, I'm in a season of resting with the truths of God by instituting Sabbath in my life. Now, Sabbath was God's intentional and wholly instituted practice of taking a day to rest. And I think it's quite fascinating. I find it very fascinating that right after God created Adam and Eve, his first act after creating them is affording them the opportunity to rest with him on the seventh day and, in theory, do nothing. Now, of course, I'm speculating. And there's not a lot said in those Genesis passages on whether or not the Sabbath is actually happening and Adam and Eve didn't do anything on that seventh day when God rested. We don't really know. But that's okay. It's fun to think about. And it's fun to think that God cared about his creation so much that he afforded them the opportunity to, the very first thing they get to do as living beings, is rest in the presence of their creator. It's pretty powerful. Another season of life we might find ourselves in is being handled with care versus being put in the fire. Again, we may be having intricate work being done on us. Potters will oftentimes take very sharp and very pointed tools with magnifying glasses on and putting the finest of details onto a pot. And sometimes that's what God's doing in our lives. He's actively working the details out, making us into this beautiful presentation for the world to see, and an evidence of his glory and his grace. And sometimes it's the potter just taking a closer look at us and refining us. Maybe he doesn't like the curve of that edge. Maybe he wants to straighten it out. Maybe he doesn't like this. Maybe he doesn't like, and he's manipulating those things in a very refined and very focused and very deliberate fashion. And he has to do it with care. He can't just simply go in there and just push things to where he thinks they need to be. It's intricate work that needs to be done versus being placed in the fire. For those of you who don't know, pots that in clay that goes into the fire is actually refined, and all the impurities that are within the pot wind up getting baked out of the clay and sweated out of the clay in such a way as that hardens. And the truth is that those kinds of seasons in our life may be a hardening to prepare us for what is to come, i.e., maybe we are going into a season where all the work that God has been pouring into us is intended to be poured out on other people. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Context is key to this verse. Looking at it in modern context, I feel, does a disservice to the actual context in which it was being written. Jeremiah was actively writing to Israelites who had been suffering under Babylon and being exiled from their homeland. And the reality was that he was reminding them, God was really reminding them through Jeremiah, that God had a plan for all of this, and that it was a good plan, one that was for our future and hope. The reality is we tend to think of this verse in the modern context, that what we're going through right now must be for our good. But the reality is that if you look at what the context of this was actually written, it was written for people who were in the present. And God was saying, no, my plans are for your good, to give you a future and a hope. I.e., the plans that God has for us are not always about the present time. They include the present time. I mean, he's over everything. But I tend to think that God's plans are always for our future, because he is always looking ahead. He sees all. He knows all. And so in reality, he is calling us to recognize that our hope needs to be in the future good that are in his planning. Because why would he say, then you will call upon me? In your present moment, you call upon me and you pray to me and I will hear you. I.e., when you're in the plan, when you've reached the future plan that he's had for you from this season. I'm in a season right now where I can't see past the next week, perhaps. And the reality is, or I can't even see past the next few hours. And the reality is that God knows the future, and my hope is in that future plan being for my good. I can't possibly know what the outcome will be, and God has given me the opportunity to be a part of the process and to learn and to follow his instructions to yield the results that he's hoping. But the reality is I have to put my hope in that future plan and recognize that when I call on him, it's like it says in verse 13, that when I seek him, I will find him. It doesn't say, nah, you might find me. No, you will find me, especially because it's in these moments and seasons where I feel like I don't know what his plan is, and it doesn't feel like it's a very good plan right now, that when I seek him with all my heart, I find him. The last part of being a pot and a clay and being molded and shaped is the idea of now you're being used or you're being filled. This is where we can kind of get into a place of arrogance in our lives, and we might think that we're done and we're finished. But the reality is the work is far from being done. And we think as Christians that the work is done because we are being used in our lives. But that's so far from the truth. We may be used by God, but he's always refining us, and he's always putting us into the fire so that we are not a worn down, broken, good for nothing vessel that cannot be used. Otherwise, we just fall to the floor and we shatter. The reality is that God wants us to be a part of the kingdom and spreading the word of Jesus in our lives and the work of God's hand to make us more like him every day to those around us, to reveal the glory of God to those around us so that we can continually be used and poured out and be filled again. But that can't be done if we are just constantly doing and completely ignoring the fact that we need to be refined. We need to go through seasons of molding and shaping and hardening so that we can continue to be used for his good purpose. Because otherwise, we might actually become like the passage I read earlier in Isaiah, the really mouthy clay that talks back to the potter and says, "Why did you make me like this?" The reality is if I find myself saying those things in my life right now, it's usually an indicator that I am burnt out and I'm about to fall to the floor and shatter to pieces. And maybe that's you. Maybe you are doing for the kingdom. Maybe you are doing and doing and doing, but you are not taking the time to allow God to mold you, to pour into you, to shape you, to refine you, to maybe even just let you rest and take a Sabbath. Because the reality is that we have a good potter, a good father, a loving God. And the loving God that I serve doesn't leave me as a shattered piece of pottery on the floor. He picks me up and he continues the process. Even when I've become the most arrogant person on the planet and believe that I can do everything by the power of God and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but I don't take the time to spend time with him in the word. I don't take time to pray, to call in his name and seek him with all my heart. And then all of a sudden my life goes, and I feel like I've been this pot that's been knocked off the counter and shattered into pieces. The reality was, I was the mouthy clay that said, "Why'd you make me like this? Here I am, I'm broken in pieces." And God almost always answers with, "I didn't make you like that. You remember who you were on the counter? That's who I was making you to be. I wasn't even done, but I was making you into this incredible thing to be used for my purpose, which is good and pleasing, and it's going to bring me glory and honor, period. I didn't want you to break, but you kept fighting me on this process. You kept asking me, the infinite creator of the world and the creator of you, made in my image, how to do what I'm doing. You told me how to do my job." That level of pride and arrogance, I can't be with that. I can't do anything with that because that's not surrendering to me. That's not letting me mold you. That's not letting me shape you. That's not me letting me refine you. That's not letting me put you through the fire to test and evaluate the works of your hand, of the things that you are actively pouring out from what I'm pouring into you. We have a good potter. We have a good father. He's a loving God, and he does not want to leave you where you are. He doesn't. He wants to pick you up wherever you're at and continue the process. Maybe it's molding. Maybe you're at rest. Maybe you're in a season of being put through the fire. Or maybe you're in a season of pouring out or being filled up. Whatever season you find yourself in right now, it's so important that you rest in the knowledge that God's plans give you a hope and a future. And part of those plans are right now, part of those plans were, but most of our hope is in the future. What is ahead of us? What God has ahead of us. And I promise you that if you put your hope in Him, in the goodness of His plan, in the goodness of His hands at work in your life, you're going to find Him. Patience. It's the very first fruit of God's love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is a patience we do not understand. So I want you to do something. Evaluate your life right now. Take an inventory, if you will. Take stock. You get the picture. What season with the heavenly potter are you in right now? Are you being filled and used? Are you being handled with care or being placed in the fire? Are you being molded or in a season of resting with the work that He has done? Perhaps knowing full well that another season of work is coming. Now, ask yourself one more question. Am I being patient with the process? The answer is simple. Don't overthink it. It's yes or it's no. If you know the answer is yes, great. Don't lose hope with where the good is going to come because it's in the future. Now, if you know the answer is no, same answer. Don't lose hope because God is faithful to complete what He sets out to do. He will model the process He is working through with you. Thanks for listening to the podcast today, for liking and sharing. If you're watching on YouTube or listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, don't forget to subscribe and click the bell so you can get the notification every time I take a journey. If you'd like to support this podcast, there's a link below and in the show notes. You can find all previous seasons and episodes from this season at ajourneyhome.blog and connect with me at aguysproduction.com or through the socials below and in the show notes. Now let's be kind to each other, show faith, love, and hope to those who need it. Have a great week. Going home.